Welcome back to the Black Is 15-Minute Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have a lovely round table jumping off tonight. Tonight's guests are Janora Lewis, our resident educator.
Hey, hey.
Mr. CEO, the managing editor of Black Is. John Wood, one of our new contributors to the table. Randy Foley, a.k.a. Dino Black. And finally, Darius Gray, a real estate broker and family member. And tonight's topic is why debt might leave you dateless. Okay, so this topic came on the table, family, because I was having a conversation either via Facebook or Twitter, and somebody asked the question, I think it was a woman. In fact, I'm sure of it. She asked the question as to why a guy would ask about finances on the first date. I guess she had gone on a date and the brother had inquired about her credit score, credit rating or something. And she was like, why should that even matter? And so there ended up being, it was definitely Twitter now too. We ended up being a conversation between she and I and another brother talking about why finances are important when you're dating. And her thing was, well, you know, this relationship is casual. I said, but you know, maybe it was casual for you. Maybe it wasn't so casual for him. And maybe that's one of those things that for him is a deal breaker. When I thought about it and how it relates to my relationship, Chris and I were both broke when we first got together, so it didn't really matter. But I think if I were dating as a 30-something, it definitely wouldn't come up in the first dates, but I definitely think it would be a conversation that would need to happen before I seriously settled down with somebody. Because debt will keep you from being able to do all sorts of stuff, as we know as grown folks. So that's me.
We're using FICA as a pickup line now.
I was like, is that a part of
my
the
score is
21st century dating?
Right.
Right.
Well, what do you guys think about that,
though? It's interesting. I mean, that's a new one for me personally. I mean, I'm not in the dating world anymore, considering that I've been married for 6 years now. But I would have to agree that debt can be a significant factor in, you know, building a relationship with someone. Just from, you know, watching my parents or my mother, so to speak, you know, being married the second time she got married, and I think that relationship didn't work. And one of the reasons was based on a debt thing, whereas they didn't see eye to eye on how to manage the money. You know, so when they came across a lump sum of money, you know, one person wanted to do something with it, and the other person was like, well, let's, you know, take care of this debt. And it was like, well, no, let's, you know, go buy something or get a material thing or give it to family or something like that. You know, so that's one of those things that, like, even when you're already in a relationship, it can definitely hamper or hurt things, you know. But when you start now, it's like you're saying, like, as a first date, like, you know,
that's kind of hardcore.
Yeah, I'm not really gonna go that deep with my conversation on the first date. Right. So, you know, maybe like second or third, or just it has to come up. Like, it's not gonna be something that I force out. Like, oh, by the way, what's your credit score?
Right.
You know, have you paid up your college bills yet? You know, that kind of thing. So yeah. Right. But I definitely think it's important.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Asking about the debt on the first date is sort of an extreme example. I mean, if you're going to ask about that, somebody needs to have a dating service that just says, look, we won't hook you up with anybody who's got a score under 700 or whatever. You know, that might be a money-making venture for somebody here.
Idea.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You got to cut me in on that.
You got it.
I get permission. No, but, you know, I think that, look, finances and a relationship, you can't underestimate the importance of that because, especially if you're going to marry somebody, and I am married, been married now for, I don't want to tell my wife. The end of 2009, you know, so about a year and a half. You share everything, not just your bedroom, not just your residence, but you share the bills. Mm. So on the one hand, it is important to have an understanding that each person is going to have part of the responsibility, an equal part of the responsibility, if that's the way you want to go about it. And in that sense, it's important. But having said that, I didn't marry my wife because she had a good job. Mm. She dang sure didn't marry me because I had a good job. We married each other because we loved each other, you know? And, you know, just more broadly speaking, even getting away from the debt thing in and of itself, I always just encourage people to, you know, don't just look at the brother's wallet. Don't just look at what kind of job he has. I mean, look to see that he's trying to make something out of himself. Mm-hmm. And men with regards to women, too. I mean, you know, men are just as fickle as women are. It's just men are not usually looking for money. They're usually looking for booty or whatever. Mm. But the same principle basically applies. Find somebody who you want to share your heart with. Find somebody who you can have some sort of passion with that goes beyond the physical or his ability to let you go and, you know, tap his credit card when you want to, because that's not going to be what keeps you happy in the long run. And if you do love each other, you're going to be willing to work with each other in the financial aspect as partners in the long run. So that's what I tell people to remember.
I agree. I wonder if it's a question nowadays, because you do have a significant amount of women now who are extremely successful in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so their finances are sometimes trumping the finances of the men who they date, which changes the dynamic of dating in regards to how we've been socialized to think about it, the man always being the breadwinner in the situation. And I wonder if that does not have an effect on this issue.
As they say in school, pick me, pick me.
Well, I feel that a lot of times the whole situation in regards to the woman being the breadwinner versus the man being the breadwinner is how we view males and females. It's like we find things that women do more acceptable than men. Men have to fall into a certain bracket or some type of stereotype of that genre.
Got to bring up the bacon, right?
Right. Like say it's a prototype. It's like this is what the man should be. Where for a woman, it's like more open. But for somebody to come and bring that about on the first date, it just shows where their mind is. It's like, I'm 30 some odd years old. You know, I'm ready to have this, that, and the other. They're kind of like on the fast track. Mm.
So you could definitely flip that into a positive.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, it depends on if you're there, too.
It's still not romantic. Right.
If you're there, too, then it's okay.
Good point. And let me jump in and just say, Kimmy, based on what it is that you were just talking about, I have a book at my house right now that's on my coffee table called Nice Girls Don't Get Rich by Dr. Lois P. Frankel, who has given about, I think it's either 100 or 75 suggestions about coming out of the socialized consciousness that women have been in oftentimes, or the role that they've played from a financial standpoint. And also, I was just thinking, not to borrow from biblical wisdom, but I do think that you should be evenly yoked. So that concept, I think, is a separate conversation, right, about this particular piece. Now, bringing it up on the first date, maybe not so much.
Right.
But I understand the motivation, though. And for someone who has been in relationship before and who has carried the lion's share as a woman, I feel very much justified in reading this book and all of the truisms and all of the philosophy that she's put behind it because of the whole... Like you said, in the past, women have been socialized oftentimes, or even now in the present day, women are making much more money than their mates.
Right.
And that's a whole nother conversation about men in relationships with women who make more money than them.
Right. I think another piece to it, too, is I've come across a few brothers, those that are financially sound. There's a fear in partnering with somebody whose money doesn't match theirs or near match theirs. Like, you know, I know women are always looking for money. They're looking for husbands so they can look for somebody to take care of them. And I'm not trying to be that guy. And I just think people are part, you know, they take all these things into consideration before they partner with people. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, you know, I think it just makes for things to be very, very complicated. Mm-hmm, it's kind of good for two broke people to get together and just have a common goal and build.
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If there was an ideal situation in relationships, I think that would be it.
Okay.
Asking that question on the first date speaks volumes as to where somebody's mindset is. To me, you're either coming out of a bad experience where someone has... Right. Or... You're so self-absorbed and concerned about what you have and worried about who's gonna try and take it. To me, neither one of those are good, because when you're going into a relationship, you have to be open, you have to be accommodating, you have to be accepting to a lot of things that you normally wouldn't. And that type of mindset doesn't allow for that.
Right.
Man, I've had experiences with women who make more money than me, and It was difficult.
For you or for her?
For us.
Okay.
Okay.
For us to date. And I dated, just to give you an example, I dated a doctor. And most of our dates took place in the cafeteria at her job.
Interesting. Okay.
And so it wasn't so much the money per se, because she wasn't towing the load and neither was I, but the fact that she felt fine with me coming to her job and accommodating her all the time. You know, and I feel like that mindset went right along with the money. And, you know, the two were not mutually exclusive. And so it didn't last long, to say the least. By the same token, I've been in relationships with women who want to be kept and expect to be kept. First date, you know, that's not even question, but I don't know. I don't even know that the issue of being equally yoked is a separate conversation.
Really,
I think it's so important because equally yoked, it doesn't just speak to finance. You were talking about mindset. We're talking about socioeconomic standing. We're talking about background. We're talking about people being raised by both parents someone coming from a broken home. We're talking about goals, aspirations, whether or not you want to have kids, how you're going to discipline your kids, how you're going to spend money, how you're going to save money.
Right.
You know, that's all speaking to being equally yoked.
That's true.
And it's true that opposites attract, but opposites don't stay together.
Right. Not all the time.
Eventually going to repel, huh?
and the more, as an individual, be a woman or a man, you have to compromise who and what you are.
Right.
I think that is a great indicator of the probability that you need to flee.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just feel that a lot of people aren't willing to compromise nowadays. You know, it's like, You have this set package, so it's like an interrogation when you first meet. It's like, do you have this, that, and other? They run down their itemized list, and that's not reality. Those are things that we desire, that we want, but some kind of way you have to find out what's really important, you know, what will last in the long run. I mean, a guy, he puts down a toilet seat when expected to, but I mean, is that really something that should be held of value? You know what I mean? It's like
some women it is.
That's what that's what I'm saying. You got
right.
The
my wife.
I
said it.
You can't expect a man to be chivalrous while you're asserting yourself as the power holder.
Exactly.
Because now I'm like, well, why don't you lift the toilet up when you finish?
And they want
so I don't have to put it down.
And they want the both roles. They want the benefit of both roles, you know what I mean?
Open the door for me.
I'm a feminist, that'll work.
Never thought of it that way.
Right.
Brother's a genius.
Yes. Right.
But in the middle of all this, let's keep something in mind. I mean, 50% of American marriages end in divorce, no matter what the social combination is.
And 90% of those end within the first 5 years.
Right, exactly. So while
it's that damn toilet seat.
so while, again, like I said in the beginning, I do not at all underestimate the significance of finances. And obviously, money is a real psychological thing. I mean, the amount of money you have makes you look at people differently. And
yes.
I have people in my family who are millionaires. I have people in my family who are living on the streets. They have very different attitudes towards people. They relate to people differently. And the odd thing is they're not necessarily, one is not necessarily so much more happy than the other. Mm-hmm. But I say that to say that the problem with most marriages, I mean, the financial aspect of it can be problematic. But again, I think that usually reveals problems that are probably deeper than that in the first place. I think if two people are really made for each other, one could be a billionaire, the other can be a, you know, person off the street. I don't think money's going to tear that apart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said, well, you know, equally yoked. Yes, you have to be partners.
You know? Do.
Mm-hmm.
Me
and my wife are partners. And if I became a millionaire overnight, you know, or if I, you know, say, this is just say, you know, I bought a lottery ticket, you know, won a bunch of money. She's getting half of it, and I'm not going to complain about that, you know? That personal chemistry is what people need to look for. I mean, the financial aspect of it, in as much as it tells you what a brother is about, if you're a woman, yes, look at his money situation, but look at what he's trying to make of himself. Look at where he's trying to go, because I think that's really what women want. Women don't just want somebody who's already got a lot of money. Well, maybe they do want that, of course, but they also want a guy who's shown some passion about what he wants to accomplish.
Not got
a guy
some goals, some direction.
Yeah, not a guy who's just sitting on the couch playing Xbox all day. You know?
Yeah.
My thing is, with the question, you know, getting back to asking that question on the first date, should you or do you automatically become, you know, defensive? Like, well, why are you all up in my business?
Most
or
cases
do you?
It
does. But do you say to yourself, like, you know, like this brother might have a good head on his shoulders and he's concerned about these issues because they are real issues.
Right.
You know, because like you said, he may see it going somewhere. You know, it could be casual, but most relationships start off casual.
Right.
And eventually something happens to where it could go one way. Like the young lady, she says it's just casual. Mm-hmm. Well, who knows when that turn could come.
Right.
And, you know, you keep thinking it's casual. It's like, now it's not. And now you find yourself with a brother who got a good head on his shoulder.
And see, what becomes apparent to me in this situation, I guess when I think about it, is where is the debt generating from? So is it a matter of you having a lot of student loans because you were getting your education, or are we talking about 10 maxed out credit cards?
Yeah, you,
like that's
you got
that's
a bunch
what
of Birkin bags and nothing
right,
in it.
Right. exactly. Right. That to me is where it would matter. Mm-hmm. Like where is all of the debt coming from? You know, that's what I would want to know if that were a question. If that's the conversation we're having, okay. I'm sure I don't know anybody that doesn't have some debt.
Some debt.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A car note, mm-hmm. a mortgage, something. But like, where is it coming from? That's what I would want
to
know.
And I want to chime in because I think that probably he was trying to get to the most direct route to ask whether or not she was a good decision maker. Because see, that's the other thing that
I think
probably he was trying to get at. Like, look, what kind of decisions have you made in the past? Are you somebody that I might want to partner up with and make decisions in concert with? And that might be a justifiable reason to bring it up on a first date.
Because if you marry somebody and they have that level of debt, that now becomes your debt.
Yes,
you're going to help that person.
Yes, it does.
If you're merging finances, and chances are you're helping that person pay that off.
Right. And if your debt, like you said, comes from a negative situation,
right,
I might not even want to have casual sex
with
you. Right. Because now, no.
Right.
Because if your money ain't right because you done messed it up, who knows what else is wrong with you?
Right.
I might not even want to, you know, we can stop right here.
Right.
Check, please.
But at the same time, if you meet a person that you really have that connection with and you feel that they're coachable.
Okay.
If they're coachable.
Okay.
We're coaching.
Well, listen. But the person has to be open for the positive change to happen. You know what I mean? And if they're closed off and they want to be stuck in that situation, then it's nothing you can really do. It's an uphill battle all the way.
Right.
But if they are open to differences and suggestions that will help benefit them, then you say, okay, well, this person might be somebody that I can make it happen with. You know, in the long run, you know, because then we can, even though we aren't necessarily on the same page at this point in time, we can get there within a reasonable amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's that investment in potential.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The fixer-upper.
Right.
All right. I like it.
Yeah, again, if you have that personal chemistry, you can do that. I just think as far as the question goes, you know, how much debt do you have? Look, it's a legitimate concern. Really bad question to ask on
come on. No, it is.
You might as well say, like, can I, you know, like, first date, can I meet your parents?
Right.
You know?
Not going to break the ice with that one.
No.
Right.
Bad
date
question.
It's going to be a long night.
Legitimate concern, bad question.
Yeah.
I'm good on that.
Well, I think we all agree that, look, to all the listeners, if that question is anywhere in your mind on that first date, just hold on to it.
Save it.
Don't bust it out. But finances are definitely important when it comes to relationships. Darius, you brought up a point that makes me want to spin off an entirely different conversation about opposites attracting in relationship. And I guess if you're dealing with people who have opposite finances, can definitely seeing that being a reason why people would not work out. But anybody have anything they want to say in summation?
One thing that I want to key in on is has something to do with the way we see each other in society as far as what's good and what's not good. You figure a person with success or if they made X amount of dollars over their lifetime, they must be doing something right. Mm. But it not necessarily work for the next person, you know. And they say, well, I'm up here and you're only making this amount of money, so I'm better than you.
Mm. Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that. That just means that you've had opportunities that the other person may not have had.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because one person's definition of success may not fit somebody else's. Right, one person exactly. might have attained their dream job of being a kindergarten teacher and are perfectly happy and they are successful, mm-hmm. as where somebody else needs to have six figures in the bank account in order mm-hmm. to feel successful. So that's... Yeah, that's up to the individual.
I just say, seek ye after the things of God, and the rest will be added unto you. Do not forget that you need somebody who you can share your heart with, you know? And, you know, that person's not going to be perfect. Person's never going to be perfect. But reality check, neither are you. Are you a millionaire right. or not? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you find that right. You find mm-hmm. that right person you can build. Even if the person does not have an ideal financial situation, yeah, you can work that out. Just make sure you with somebody you love, because that's the hardest thing to find.
Say a credit score can always be raised.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Well, when we come back for part two, I definitely now want to put on the table the idea of marriage as a business transaction, because I'm having that conversation more often than not. We thank you for joining us. Check back in for the next Black Is 15-minute break. Oh, maybe another bag of meth for his head, but he wants the dollar. The dollar. The dollar.